Ancient warfare. Sea People's Military Organization. Most of the information about the military organization of the Sea Peoples comes from the Egyptians, which isn't surprising since they were one of their favorite targets. Reliefs from the battle scenes at the Mindanet Habu site show the Egyptians fighting enemies who used chariots, which actually were very similar in design to the chariots the Egyptians used. Sea People organizations show that they have ox-drawn carts that tend to contain women and children, which of course is an indication of full-on migration, not just a military force or mercenary force, but actual migration. Second, they'll also show chariots, and third, they'll have infantry. Even when depicted on the reliefs as retreating, the reliefs show the Sea Peoples maintaining order. Now, the infantry host is made up of three parts. First of all, there's the non-combatant civilians. Again, this included women and children. They're being carried inside large square carts with two solid wheels, with a single soldier as a guard. Four oxen are harnessed then side by side. Then you have the chariots in the host. These are six-spoke wheels pulled by two horses, which again, they're similar to both the Egyptian and the Hittite war chariots. Then when you get to the infantry is armed with a pair of long spears or javelins. Sometimes they seem to be arrayed in small, what are known as proto-phalanxes. This would be of four or more men. Some carry long straight swords, and some are depicted with just a short dagger. It is interesting to remember that Homer describes the Achaeans, or the Achaeans, in proto-phalanx formation, and the Minoan warriors in the Thera frescoes are also shown in these proto-phalanxes. Interestingly, the Pellucid and other Sea People's chariots are depicted in the Near Eastern style of the chariot. That means they were equipped with lateral quivers for bows and arrows. But the warriors on the chariots are armed only with spears and shields, which is the way the Aegean chariot troops are usually seen. Trojan, Mycenaean, and Minoan. Now, from a leadership standpoint, some historians claim that the Sea Peoples lacked a centralized leadership, pointing to what appears to be a lack of Sea People leaders in Egyptian sources, which is really just kind of strange, because even if you were organized as a mercenary group, you would still need a mercenary commander. And when you brought other groups together, you would have to have some organization just to keep your various Sea People groups separate and coordinating. But there may not be a king of the Sea People, if you will. But the Egyptians made references to Sea People leaders, with some having the term great ones used. Again, the Tower of Mindanet Habu, which has emblematic representations of foreigners, most of whom are identified as either political leaders or military leaders. The representatives of the Pellucid or Tekkers are specifically identified as great ones. Now, that is a leadership associated with mobile groups like the Sea Peoples. The Egyptians used the same title to leaders of the Sashu, which were a nomadic people of Canaan. The organized initiatives by Sea Peoples suggested that if they confederated, they would have to have had developed a military and or political leadership. Military expeditions against Egypt by land and sea would have required, if not a single commander-in-chief, then at least commanders for each group acting in a degree of coordination with each other. In the Egyptian sea battle reliefs is a further possible representation of Sea People leaders, which were indicated by the manacles that the prisoners of war were forced to wear after they were captured. The manacle was a relatively comfortable, yet efficient means of restraint. Example, all Sea People's warriors captured during sea battles are shown, first of all, manacled, and secondly, seated in Egyptian ships. Once on shore, they're being prepared for presentation before the Pharaoh. So some POWs have their manacles removed, and their arms are forced together and tied behind their backs or tied above their heads. However, some prisoners of war continue to wear the more comfortable and less degrading manacles, possibly indicating a recognition of special status. Example, Mesher, son of Kepher, was the leader of the Meshwash. He was treated this way. Also, some manacles are uniquely lion or fish-shaped, while most are just plain. But the lion and the fish shape are emblems of pharaonic power, showing the important captives as being subordinated to the pharaoh. Men depicted as wearing the special manacles were surely senior or very important leaders of the sea peoples. Well, you know, there's not a lot of information, but, you know, you can use your own background in ancient military history to see you just don't have a herd of people showing up. Even pirates of the Caribbean had pirate captains and pirate leaders, and so you're going to have the same thing with these other groups. We just don't have the book of the Pellicet, for example, that gives us all the ins and outs in the organization. It's a confused period. Therefore, we have all of this confusion, and the data is hard to come up with. Now, the sources for this were the sea peoples of the Bronze Age Mediterranean, 1400 to 1000 BC. That's by D'Amato and Salimbetti. The peoples of the sea, the search for the Philistines, Dothan and Dothan. The Philistines and other sea peoples in text and archaeology, Killebrew and Lehman, and the collapse of the Bronze Age, the story of Greece, Troy, Egypt, and the peoples of the sea by Robbins. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, check out the souvenirs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.